Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there. Welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 61. I'm Mike. That's Doug.
Dude, how's your groin?
Dude, what?
Your groin.
What about it?
You have a groin injury, dude. How's your groin? You pulled your groin.
I did. You just sort of threw that out at me. I'm rehabbing. I'll have you know.
You're rehabbing your groin?
I'm actually rehabbing, yes.
How do you do that? Please be kind.
You do certain, without getting into too much specifics, you do certain stretches and exercises. I'm hoping to start playing next month. So I've been out of it for too long. I'm itching to play again. I haven't played since late May and it sucks.
Can I make a suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
Please don't ever say itching and groin again in the same sentence.
Did I say that in the same sentence? Or
no,
did I?
But I'm making it sound like
just in case.
I just pulled my pharynx. I want you to know that. My pharynx. During the podcast last week, I pulled my pharynx.
I hope you're not going to be on the IR, dude. I hope you're not going to have to sit out.
It's possible.
I'm glad we're talking about groins and pharynxes when this is no doubt the most news-filled week of the summer for the Sharks.
That's true.
I know. Finally, something happened.
And we've got a slew of listener emails this week.
A gang of them.
We do. The most emails by far, double. We didn't even know. It was like Santa's magic bag.
That's right. Questions@dudesonhockey.com is the email address. But then again, you know that because you used it last week.
They did.
So big news of the week, Patrick Marleau stripped of the captaincy. Joe Thornton stripped of the assistant captaincy. No A's, no C's assigned going into the season. So that's big. It was a little bit bigger than I thought. I mean, it was front page news on TSN.
Yeah.
Maybe I just think that nobody cares, but I didn't expect it.
Well, what are they going to do? Put the Todd Bertuzzi thing as signing with the Red Wings as front page? Well, this is the big news of the day, dude.
I suppose you're right. It is August. Do you think that would be big news if it were, you know, in the middle of the season or other times of the year?
I think that all eyes are on the Sharks right now around the NHL, just based on them being front and center in the rumor mill as far as with being connected to Heatley and being connected to Kessel and Marleau, the, you know, revolving question of him either staying or leaving and, you know, being stripped of the captaincy. You know, people are reading it in many different ways, dude. How do you read it?
Well, I'd like to just say that I called it.
Dude, you did.
For those of you who have been with us a long time, read a lot of, listened to all of our episodes, you would have heard me call for this exact change in episode 49. That's a full 12 weeks ago. I'm way out ahead of this.
Are you gloating?
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay,
I'm gloating.
All right.
I just said there needs to be a change in terms of leadership, and I hoped that Marleau could stay on the team without the C. And I also said at the time that if we had to trade him, then we should trade him if that's what it takes to make the changes necessary. So, and, you know, we talked about a few weeks back when it was in the news that Marleau said something like, I will do whatever it takes to help this team win. We both called at that point. That means the captaincy is, in fact, gone.
Basically gone.
And then this week it was absolutely confirmed by the coach, Todd McClellan, that we have no captain at this time. People need to step up. And, of course, we got emails to that effect. So, Brian and Campbell emails us and says, with the announcement that the captaincy is open at this point, what are your thoughts on the effect this will have within the locker room? How do you see this affecting Marleau? What other players in the NHL have lost captaincies or remained with the team, and what kind of effects did it have? And Brian goes on to say, I personally feel the C is really symbolic, and this move is reiterating to the team that they need to step up locker room accountability. Same players will be leaders in their locker room regardless of the letter on the sweater. And he thinks Marleau could be traded, but he thinks there's no more chance now than before. And he's a solid player, would be a second line center, etc. So hold that in as your thought, dude. Let me get to the other email quickly. And Tom from Mountain View says, who would get your votes for captain and alternates? And he thinks Boyle would be the front runner. And would you be opposed to a rotating system of captains, which the Sharks did do? I believe it was McCauley, Damfus, and Marleau back in, what was it, 02-03? Eventually settled on Marleau. The Wild have also done that kind of rotating system in the past. So lots of questions there about the captaincy, dude. What do you think? What's your initial reaction here? And where do you think the C is headed?
Well, I think I've felt since we started talking about this that the natural choice for this is Dan Boyle, mm-hmm. you know, for many reasons. You know, I think he showed at the State of the Sharks exactly what we've been looking for in a Sharks player to sort of stand up. I mean, he sat down. Mm-hmm. But while he was sitting down, he was very critical of the Sharks' goaltending and of the Sharks' play in general and of his own play, and very candid. And he doesn't ever seem to be shy of taking responsibility with the media. He seems like one of those guys on the ice where he's always talking. He's seems to be a kind of a fiery personality, even though he's not big and physical. He seems like a bit of a talker, you mm-hmm. know, which yeah. I like. And the fact that he's going to be here for the next 4 or 5 years, I can't remember how his contract, I think he runs another 5 years.
I think he's got 5 more, yeah.
Doesn't that make him the natural choice, dude?
I think so. Yeah, that would be my first choice for sure. I think Mark Purdy said in the Mercury News today that he thinks Joe Thornton may be the choice since it's his team. He's the best player on the team. That's how a lot of these things work. It goes to the best player, you know, Kovalchuk, and, you know, the list goes on and on of best players having the C, Crosby and everything else. But, you know, I mean, Joe Thornton was the captain in Boston for a time. I think Dan Boyle is the one for two reasons. One, for all those reasons that you said. Two, it also represents a change. Here's a new guy. A guy who's only been with the team a year. He gets the captaincy. Joe Thornton's been with the team since 2005. Clearly, it hasn't worked for whatever reason. And we've talked until we're blue in the face about how it's not exactly Joe's fault, although maybe he hasn't stepped up like we'd like. But it's time to go to move in a different direction. And giving the captaincy to Dan Boyle would certainly signify to the rest of the team, this is definitely a different direction. We're not going to recycle the players that we've had for a long time and just shuffle the captaincy amongst them. It's going to be Boyle's, I think, in my opinion.
I don't really see anyone being a legitimate threat. I see the point with Thornton, but
I think Thornton will still have an A.
He'll have an A for sure. I'm not sure he wants the C.
Right.
I don't think he does. Aren't we looking at him now? He's already under a huge microscope with this team.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to put that added pressure on him? Now, you know, we've seen on our blog, sharks.hockeyanalysis.com.
Good
plug.
Thank
you. There's been some comments today. You know, seems like some people are advocating for Joe Pavelski.
Right.
Who did wear
the A a little bit during the season.
Yeah, he did. When Greer was out.
Tom emailed us about that.
Right.
When Greer was out.
When Greer was out. Now, he wasn't a permanent A. But, you know, and someone even went so far as to, you know, say that this would give him the full transformation into Chris Drury.
Really?
Well, do you see Pavelski being a Chris Drury type?
Yeah.
Well,
hopefully without the $7 million.
Well, as of right now, no. But, you know, Chris Drury is a leader. He's that's what how he makes his big bucks. And he plays, you know, a solid two-way game.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be, you know, I think, you know, Pavelski and Drury's ceiling is, you know, 60, 65 points.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for the long term, if you're looking at the core of this team, is Pavelski maybe getting some serious consideration here, dude?
I think it's possible. I think someone said, I can't remember where I read it, but it may have been on David Pollock's blog in the comments thread, that Pavelski has won at a lot of different levels. He won at Wisconsin. I think he was the captain of that NCAA winning Wisconsin team. You know, this guy's a leader. And there are other good players on that team. Ryan Suter was on that team, other players. So Brian Elliott. So can't forget Brian Elliott. But yeah, Pavelski certainly seems like an interesting choice, especially if the Sharks are planning on locking him up long term, which I assume is the case.
You assume, but as of right now, that's not the case.
No. I mean, you know, alternate captains are even more symbolic than the captaincy, if that's even possible. So, you know, I think it's possible. Thornton and Marlowe, Thornton and Blake, you know, maybe Pavelski. I don't think it's that big of a deal who wears the A. The C is obviously much more of a focal point, and I think it's definitely...
Can I ask you this, dude? What's more insulting to Marlowe, getting an A or not getting anything at all?
Not getting anything at all is much more insulting.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Don't you think he just would be rather fully absolved from the entire thing?
It could, but I think that's definitely... His ticket is certainly punched out of town. I mean, even though this guy has sort of stood behind the Sharks franchise and been a great representative of the franchise, whether or not the team has done well in the playoffs or not, he's certainly a... You know, as Randy Hahn wrote in the on his blog, read every blog today, it seems. Yeah, Randy Hahn said, you know, he's a great player and a great guy and has done a lot of great things for the city.
Can't dispute that. Undeniable.
Undeniable. So I think you do sort of whatever, whichever you do sort of maybe to keep the door open for maybe Marla to resign if you can get a decent deal. Because you don't just want to ditch talent, you know?
No.
The C's gone. Okay, so the hard work is done in a way. I think it's probably more likely that he's going to be traded now because, I mean, that's sort of the hard part's gone, right? It's a lot easier to sort of strip privileges from somebody, give them to somebody else, than it is just to ship the guy out of town, out of sight, out of mind. I think it's pretty likely that Marla could be traded, don't you?
No, dude, I'm going to have to disagree because really? I would think that they wouldn't put him through this if he was just going to be moving. Hmm. Why even make a statement right now? If they've got a deal in the works to send him to Montreal, which is total hogwash.
Yeah, yeah.
But if they've got a deal, a possible deal, why even humiliate him and take away the C from him publicly and then trade him? It's, right. You know, here's a punch to the gut and a knee in the nuts.
Right.
You know, and here's your plane ticket out the door. I think he's staying. I put it at 20%, dude, that he's traded. I just think it's very slim that he's moving because you said it just a few minutes ago. Why ditch talent?
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to get an equal return?
Yeah, like I was saying, why would you ship him out of town? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
Dude, here's another question I have for you.
Okay.
Okay. Do you think it's possible, with Marlowe being relieved of the pressures of the sea, that he could just have a monster year?
Yeah, I think it could happen. I mean, I thought last year was a pretty monster year. 38 goals is a pretty good year. That's certainly his career high in terms of goals. If he had that year again, I would be very, very happy. I mean, that's a great season.
Sure.
Whether or not he moves to the second line.
If he's playing totally free, you know, although Marlowe hasn't really ever really totally thrived under pressure. Mm-hmm. And with a you know, new contract on the brain, he might, you know, be playing kind of tight. But last time he was in a contract year, didn't he put up 78 points?
Yeah, that's a great year.
Yeah. And the year before that, he had 86. So I think, you know, this could be the ticket to some good things from him. You know, not that last year was bad, but even better. If he's still on the team, dude, I'm calling an 80-point year.
Wow. Big. You're going big on that
one. Going big. Go big or home.
Going big. I don't think we're going to do the rotating captain thing, though, Tom. I don't think that makes sense. There's too many good players, too many veterans on this team. You know, if you got a young team, you're not sure who's a leader. There's plenty of guys on this team you can say that's the leader. Dan Boyle, certainly one of the top ones.
Too many strong personalities on this team to justify something like that. So I agree with you, dude.
Too many cup winners, too many of that.
Yep.
Other small news this week, as you called, dude, we're 2 for 2 on predictions this week. Thomas Greiss signed to a 2-year deal. You're awesome.
Thank you, dude. I'd like to thank the Academy. I thank my mom and dad for giving me all my useless hockey knowledge. And, dude, I'd like to thank you.
You're welcome.
Dude, I want to say one more thing real quick, because there's one thing about the captaincy that we didn't quite get to. Can you think of an example of a team that lost their captain?
Yeah.
And that player continued to be a successful part of that franchise?
Mike Keane in Montreal.
Ooh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well.
No. Actually, I was going to say Mike Modano in Dallas, which is, you know, Mike Modano still with the team, used to wear the C. They stripped it, gave it to Brendan Morrow, caused a big stink in the media for a while. Everybody was saying, you know, Mike Modano has got dissed and disrespected and all these kinds of things. And he just kind of kept playing and Dallas kept going and there wasn't a huge deal.
Right.
I think that's pretty likely in this case. I mean, Patrick Marleau isn't Ray Emery. He's not going to go show up to practice late, crash his car, and then start painting boxers on his helmet. He's just going to go and play the way he always did. You know what I mean? I think of all the captains to strip the C from and keep him on the team, maybe Marleau might be the best choice in the NHL.
Yeah, he's not going to say a word.
Yeah.
This is going to blow over.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, people are going to find something else to write about, I think. Once the season starts, they're not going to have Marlowe to pick on anymore, and maybe that's just going to help the team all around.
I hope so, because I think Boyle can take the heat.
Absolutely.
He certainly seems willing to take it. So I hope that's the case. I hope that's what happens.
Sorry.
But anyway, so Greiss and Carlson.
Yes.
We signed this guy Carlson.
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
I don't know, dude.
Zach in San Jose asks, Is he any good? Never heard of Carlson, have you? I'm not afraid to admit it. Never heard of him before.
Never heard of him. I can't seem to find much about him. You know, to our friends at Sharks page, when they sort of openly admit that they don't know who he is, and they know a lot.
They know
about
a lot.
About hockey prospects and overseas prospects, and they didn't really have a whole heck of a lot to say yet. You know, my suggestion to who had this question?
Zach from San Jose.
Zach, you know, I would stay tuned to Sharks page because I would say, you know, as soon as those guys over there have some sort of report, they'll probably write something up, and we'll certainly be watching and we'll comment on it. But yeah, I don't know much about him, but his deal sure is interesting, dude.
Yeah, I mean, the number that was what on Cap Geek or the NHLPA or whichever was $1.3 million for a guy I've never heard of before. And this guy's no spring chicken. It's not that he's an 18-year-old Swedish prospect, been playing in the Swedish Elite League for 3 years. I mean, this guy's, what, 24, 25, something like that? I mean, he's a huge guy, right? 6'6 or something, big kid. But giving a guy over $1 million when you're just sort of a free agent out there, it smacks of Fabian Brunström, for one. Another Fabian Brunström analogy, but it's a lot of money. I think it's a two-way deal, though, right?
Yeah. It is a two-way deal. It's an entry-level deal. It's a two-way deal. If he's on the Sharks, then he's going to make 1.3. You know, he's got 900,000 in salary, and then he's got like 400,000 in some sort of performance bonuses that that I don't know what those are. But this is Greiss. I totally get, and I can't believe that they got him for what they signed him for. I mean, Greiss signed
like
for
2 years, 1.2 or something.
Yeah. Wasn't 2 years. Greiss signed 2 years, 1.1.
Wow.
He's making $550,000.
So barely over the league minimum.
Yeah, it's a steal. And, you know, I'm not sure if Greiss should fire his agent or what, but I'm not sure. I don't really understand what happened there. But I'm glad that they've got him signed. I mean, Greiss is the lowest paid Sharks goalie prospect right now. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Carlson's making 1.3 two ways now, two ways. Sexsmith is making a mil. Stalock's making 850,000. So,
yeah.
You know, that's kind of rough, man. Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, if those are two-way deals, then they don't get that money, I think, if they're down in the minors, right?
No, you don't.
So they get some sort of portion of it. So maybe the 550 is with a, you know, backroom handshake agreement that Greiss is on the roster this year.
And that could be a one-way deal, which means
Think it was, though.
You don't think so?
I don't think it was.
Interesting.
I don't know. I've got it. It's highlighted in orange here on Cap Geek, which is my new favorite website, by the way.
League minimum for the AHL, you know what that is? 50,000, I think.
500,000?
No, 50.
50,000 for the league?
For the AHL.
Oh, for the ow.
Yeah. So if you're not playing in the bigs, you're not making a whole lot of money here.
Here it is, dude. I think I figured it out. Greiss's contract for this year is two ways. Next year's guaranteed.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, that makes a little bit of sense there.
That's
so, but the thing with Carlson is, what's the deal here, dude? Is he going to be, even if he plays lights out in the preseason, let's say he's 3-0, doesn't give up a goal, and he, you know, say he accidentally shoots Chris Pronger.
All right. Skates it up himself and scores.
And he's a hero. He's a hero.
Right.
And the Sharks like, oh my God, how can we not have this guy on the team? The question is, dude, how can this guy even be on the team?
Yeah, they can't afford him. I don't know.
So what gives?
I guess maybe they would just play the AHL juggle where they have him up sometimes and down there sometimes because the cap number is prorated each day of the season. So they bring him up, play some games, but he's not here the whole season. The Sharks wouldn't be on the hook for the entire $900,000. And maybe they manipulate it so he doesn't get those performance bonuses so the extra $400,000 doesn't count either. I mean, that's, you know, teams do this kind of thing all the time where they're playing around with guys and moving them up and down to hit certain numbers, not necessarily because of the way they're playing, just because those are the numbers they want to hit. I think that could happen.
So the Sharks goalie situation in the minors is a little bit confusing because you've got Sexsmith, who I have to assume that he's still going to be playing junior, I guess maybe one more year.
I don't know how old he is, but yeah.
What's the age limit on junior?
I think at 20.
20. And Sexsmith is 20. So, and he signed his first deal. So he's going to be Worcester.
Out. Yeah.
Wow. So the Sharks have a log jam here. They've got Sexsmith. They've got Stalock. I mean, does signing Carlson, maybe are we being ignorant here, dude? Should we be expecting a trade?
I mean, the Sharks are notorious for being able to draft and scout good goaltending talent. I think a trade is definitely within the cards, right?
Sure.
There's lots of guys.
Anything is possible.
Here's another goaltender from an email from Trevor. He's asking about Harry Sateri. This is a guy we haven't even mentioned yet. He's a Finnish goaltending prospect. And he says, if you two dudes could break down the short-term and long-term outlook for Logan Couture and Harry Sateri, when will Couture see regular ice time, and what do you project his upside to be? As for Sateri, what time frame are we talking about now? And what about the other goaltenders? So we talked about the other goaltenders, but Couture and Sateri. Sateri played for the Finnish team in the juniors. He was supposed to be the backup and then ended up being sort of a tandem. So he jumped up in people's eyes in World Juniors last year. So that's good. But that still means he's young. He's a couple years away from...
He's 19.
Even sniffing an NHL roster.
He's not even... They don't have him under any contract at all.
They just have his rights.
They have his rights.
Yeah, and he's still playing in Finland.
Right.
So, I mean, he's years away, Trevor. So 2-3 years away at least. Logan Couture, same deal. Just finished his junior career. Played a few AHL games last year. There's no chance, in my opinion, he's going to be on the Sharks this year. This guy's a great pit. He's a great player. Averaged over a point per game for, what, the Ottawa 67s, was it?
Yeah, 87 points in 62 games last year.
Yeah, damn good player. He needs to play against men, against big boys. He's going to be in Worcester all year. He's not going to sniff the Sharks this year. So I think the earliest we might see Couture in the lineup would be 2010-2011, depending on what all happens. I just don't see, and plus, you know, he's going to make a lot of money. It's another cap issue. He's going to be in Worcester all year. So we're not going to see Couture this year, but I'm hoping maybe to go and see some of those like rookie prospect games against the Ducks, and hopefully I can see Couture there.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I would say just from what I've seen, having, you know, dropped some coin on watching the Ottawa 67s online and then watching Worcester in the playoffs last year, I'm pathetic. Couture, I've said it before, he reminds me of, I think he's a Marlowe clone. I really do.
Yeah.
He's fast. He was the captain of the Ottawa 67s. The thing that I like about him that Patrick Marleau doesn't have is that, you know, I think in his limited AHL experience this year, under 10 games, he had two fights.
Mm-hmm.
And his first game, he got a fight.
Yeah, he's trying to prove himself.
Sure. And I like that. You know, he didn't, you know, I wonder how many fighting majors Patrick Marleau had in his career.
For the Seattle Thunderbirds?
Yeah. How many fighting majors do you think Patrick Marleau's had in his entire career? Can you even remember one?
Over, under two. What's your pick?
Under.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
He doesn't get... I mean, we've seen him...
Well, he had a fight last year, didn't he?
Well, he may have... twirled around. I mean, I guess you could call Dancing with the Stars fighting too.
Oh,
come on, dude. Okay. Patrick Marleau's a lover. He's not a fighter.
That's true.
I like him.
I'm saying
no problem with Captain Patty.
Top six for Couture. That's what I'm hoping.
I just called him Captain Patty. It's wrong.
Not
take
anymore.
It back.
Yeah, oops. Take it back. Other emails. We got many more. Another email from a new emailer, Daniel Robitaille. A story name. I mean, I hope he's related to Randy Robitaille. No, actually, he's asking about another great Robitaille, Luke Robitaille. In our show last week, we had a segment or a question from an email about which player would you bring back that's retired in the last 4 to 6 years, obviously, in the context of Theo Fleury and Claude Lemieux. And Daniel Robitaille, a Canadian listener, I'll have you know, asked, what about Luke Robitaille? Maybe he was slow at the end, but he still had a bit of a scoring instinct. Always loved playing in California. Still wishes Luke Robitaille was in the NHL, dude. What do you think? Luke Robitaille?
I mean, a scoring instinct for what?
He's like the highest scoring left winger in NHL
history. Okay, but dude, I mean, post-lockout, I mean, you could see that before the lockout, his last really good year was 2000-2001 at 88 points. Dude.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, he went down to 50. Then he had 31 points in 81 games on the 2002-2003 Detroit Red Wings, dude.
Yeah.
And then, you know, his last year...
I think Judd Bushler had 40 points on that team.
24 points in 65 games. Time to retire, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
I salute your career, but he would be at... I don't even think he'd make my top 10 of guys who could probably come back and play.
Unfortunately, Daniel, we are talking about guys who would come back and play at their current age. Maybe at his prime, Lou Robitaille was a great player, no doubt about that. But if he came back, in my mind, he wouldn't be nearly as entertaining as Bob Probert.
No. not at all. Not
nearly.
At all.
Not nearly.
Now, dude, I just want to toss this out here.
Okay.
Randy Robitaille?
The better Robitaille, as he's
Randy
known.
Robitaille, come on. He's still playing in the Swiss A-League.
Is he really?
He is.
He's really playing.
He is. He was almost a point per game out there.
Good for him.
What does that say for the Swiss A-League?
Him and Alexi Yashin, right?
I don't know if they're on the same team, dude.
That'd be
I
awesome.
Could check it out. On his team was also Patrick Thorsen.
Patrick Thorsen, I remember him.
All right.
Absolutely. Well, dude, we got another email from Adam here, which I want to spend a little bit of time on. He's talking about, actually, amazingly, a crazy trade.
I'm going off the rails on a crazy trade.
All right, so Adam has a trade, which I don't think Adam meant this to be a crazy trade, but I think after we frame it a little bit, people might recognize this for being a crazy trade. He said, Adam, email question for you guys. With the seemingly difficult landscape to trade Chichu for various reasons, such as cap consideration, his poor fit as a third-line winger, what's your thoughts on the following trade proposal? Jonathan Chichu, $3 million cap hit for 2 years, for Ethan Morrow, 2 years, $2 million cap hit. Morrow's much older. We would get his 34 and 35-year-old seasons, but he fits the playoff characteristics of a tough, gritty third-line SOB, certainly a better fit in that role than Chichu. He's got veteran leadership and could play a little bit on the PK. With the net $1 million in salary cap savings, every bit counts. What do you think, dude? Chichu for Morrow?
Yes, I would totally do that.
Yes.
But I think you'd have to wake me up from my dream. Because,
yeah.
Let's talk about this, okay?
Yeah.
We're talking about trading Cheech, who... his value in NHL circles, I think, is questionable.
It's questionable compared to Randy Robitaille at this point.
Dude.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
Come on.
That was
terrible.
It was a joke.
But we really don't know what his value is around the league.
No.
It's hard to gauge. You know, I mean, we have no idea. We probably won't find out until what we see he's actually moved for. And I still think that he's going to be gone. I can't see him fitting in here. But we're talking about the Edmonton Oilers trading their captain, Ethan Morrow, to the Sharks for a guy who can't crack our top six.
Yeah, yeah, maybe not.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Talk about rides in the streets.
Ethan Morrow would be awesome. He's exactly the type of player that we'd want.
Absolutely true.
He's a penalty killer. He plays with grit. He's a leader. That would be awesome. If you can catch the Oilers on a really cold day, maybe we can pull it off.
I think it's sort of like trading today's Jonathan Chichu for 2000-2001 Mike Ricci. Would you do it? No way. You would never trade Mike Ricci. Mike Ricci was like heart and soul of the team. You know what I mean?
Right, but Mike Ricci produced a lot more offense than Ethan Morrow.
Right, but he wasn't a top six guy. He was a penalty killer, energy guy.
He was a top six guy, dude.
Was he?
Mike Ricci?
Well, not near the end of his career. I mean, you know, Ethan Morrow's 34. I'm talking sort of the twilight of Mike Ricci's career. I meant, you know, like sort of the later years when he was a major crowd favorite and, you know, sort of a Scott Thornton kind of role, right? You know, third line.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that's sort of what I'm equating this with. And if, Adam, if you put it in those kinds of terms, I mean, the answer is I don't think the Oilers would be interested in making that trade at all. I'm going to put this on the site as a possible crazy trade and say if it's crazy or not crazy. But I think it may be a little bit crazier than you might have thought of, because Ethan Morrow is a little bit better. He adds a little bit more to the table, to the equation than Chichu does at this point. And Chichu's cap hit is a major problem. And I think if Chichu was $1 million, then I don't think we'd even be having this discussion. Chichu would still be on the team and we'd be happy. But he's $3 million.
Right.
Right.
He's $3 million without a home. I mean, like, he doesn't have a spot to play in right now.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
Dude, you know, I'm kind of looking at the numbers. I'm going to take it back. I think you're right. Ricci, 2000, 2001 was probably a third liner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
kudos to you again, dude.
I just sort of threw that out. I'm glad I'm right.
No, you're right. He had like 44 points. So that's about right.
Yeah. Well, Chicho had like only like 30 points last year. So I think it's even better.
But on the 2000, 2001 Sharks, I mean, that put Mike Ricci fifth in scoring.
With 41
Marlowe points. Had 52 points that year and he was leading the team in scoring. Jesus. Holy lordy.
Yeah. Wow.
That was.
That's like the year Pat Falloon. Like, led the team as a rookie with, like, 59 points
that's
or whatever
rough,
that
dude,
was.
That's rough.
All right, dude, we're running out of time. You got anything else you want to talk about this
dude,
week?
Dude, what?
Yeah, I know.
Running out of time.
There's so many emails.
We didn't even quite cover everything, dude.
I think we did.
Wow. We missed some questions, dude.
No, I don't think we did we?
No. No, we did. I think we did. There was a question from Zach.
We got that, dude.
We did?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's Bryson Carlson, dude.
It was? Oh,
keep up, dude.
I guess I had something else on my mind.
Yeah, you were like surfing hockey buzz again. I know you.
Dude, it's not true. I take it back. But I have one more question. How much time do we got?
We got enough.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this real quick. And I can't remember in whose email this was. But talking about, you know, if the Sharks going to be able to make a deal, and we're talking about the Sharks' cap problems right now, which, you know, reevaluating it on capgeek.com,
mm-hmm.
do you know who has the fewest number of players signed in the NHL?
Probably the Sharks.
That's true, at 19. And they're $0.3 million over the cap. Only Detroit and Ottawa are more over the cap. Boston's info is wrong mm-hmm. on Hockey Buzz because they have Tuukka Rask listed on their active roster, and there's no way they carry $8.2 million of goalies. I mean, Rask is going to be in the minors.
Yeah.
So actually, they're $1 million under the cap.
So who's their backup then? Because Fernandez
they
is
signed
gone.
Danny Sabourin.
Oh, that's right.
So they're not in as bad a shape. I mean, they certainly can't sign Kessel without moving somebody, but they're better off than we are. So this whole notion of having a third team in order to make this work, that's the only way the Sharks can make a real makeover to this team by bringing in a high profile player, which we truly question if that's the solution anyways.
Yeah, Heatley or Kessel, right?
But in order to get Heatley or Kessel, doesn't there have to be a third team involved here? Because Boston and Ottawa, they can't take back a lot of salary.
That's true. Then we have to start talking about like the Edmonton Oilers, you know, taking salary or somebody else taking salary. Sure. And every additional team that's involved makes that trade that much harder to actually pull the trigger on. So it's not too surprising that this blockbuster hasn't happened, because if the Sharks do a two for one with even money, then they're 0.3 over the cap with five players to sign instead of four. I mean, they're in even tougher shape. So, you know, Mitchell still unsigned. You know, this goes on and on. I mean, we actually have Sharks players on the ice today at Captain's Ice with Marlowe, Owen Nolan's there, Brad Stewart, Victor Tikhonov. So, I mean, we're getting close to the season here. I mean, we're getting pretty close. Players actually skating around, you know, shooting around, stuff like that. We're weeks away from the rookie tournament. I mean, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen?
It's puzzling. I don't know. What about Adam's notion of the Sharks' best trade asset of being a first-round pick?
You know, I don't agree with that at all. I don't think that you trade a first-round pick. I do agree with you, Adam, when you said that Couture and Petrecki are worth more than a first-round pick, and I think that's true. But the thing is, the Sharks have a lot of eggs in this basket already. And if you trade a first-round pick, you got even more eggs in the same basket. And then 2 years from now, the Sharks would have gone 3 or 4 years consecutively without a first-round pick at all, almost, and then it's really going to be sort of a long time before they can regroup. And I think you have to hedge your bets a little bit. I mean, this is a good team, but you still have to hedge. You can't just completely just get rid of everything in the pantry in order to try and field the team, because what if it doesn't work out?
Yeah, then you're in big trouble.
You're in big trouble. And, you know, this is a team with a pretty loyal fan base and good sponsors. And if all of a sudden they go from being a 117-point team to a 70-point team, well, there's going to be a lot of people leaving, and you're going to see some empty seats. So I think hopefully management is thinking about a little bit more than just, okay, we're just going to give it one huge shot, and then we got nothing left in the tank. You got to have a little bit of a longer-term feel for this. You want the team to be decent for a long time. Hope some of these guys turn out, and a first round pick, even if he's in the 20s, is still nothing to sneeze at. Sure, it's not the same as a top five, not even close, but it's still better than a fourth round pick or whatever our first pick this year was, right?
Right. It seems like what, you know, the rumored asking price for Kessel was a, you know, an NHL ready forward, a prospect, and a first round pick. So, you know, are you trading McGinn, Couture, and a first rounder for Kessel?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. There's no way. That doesn't fit into our plan. I don't think it fits into anybody's plan,
yeah,
to be honest. But, you know, that could be what part of the holdup here is, too. We've talked about Doug Wilson overvaluing his players, maybe a little bit. I mean, he could be on the phone with a team like Buffalo. Now, this is hypothetical. And if he's on the phone and they're like, well, you know, we're interested in Mahalik. We lost, you know, a Finneganoff. We lost, you know, Dominic Moore. We're looking to replace here. What do you want? Well, if he asks for, you know, Nathan Gerb in return, who is, you know, perhaps the second coming of Theo Fleury without the meanness, but he's only 5'5".
Right.
But he's a winner on every level. This guy can flat out score. You know, are they balking at that? Because then they're taking on salary and giving up their... It's the reverse situation.
Right. And it's not like Buffalo has anything... I mean, Buffalo didn't make the playoffs the last couple of years. I mean, if they make the playoffs, it's a huge thing for them. So,
yeah.
And they would probably balk at that deal.
It's a dance. You know, who's going to give up their young, underpaid players that are able to contribute for perhaps an overpaid veteran?
Yeah.
You know, who can...
Not too many guys.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah,
we're gonna see what happens, dude. But something's got to give.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, we keep saying it, and I certainly hope it's not your AHL prediction.
Yeah, me
that
too.
Comes true.
Me but, too. But there's plenty more to come.
I guess so, dude.
I gotta wrap it up. It's Dudes on Hockey. Thanks for listening. You can email us, please, at questions@dudesonhockey.com, and check us out. We'll be here again next week, same time, same place.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions@dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.